everybody, it's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 49 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the news going on in the park, because there's a lot going on right now. And we're going to bring up a lot of these different news stories and give it our spin. So for tonight's show, this is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Sam.
And Jennifer.
And here we go. And we'll start with the big one at Epcot. So we've heard recently, in the past maybe week and a half, that they're going to be losing a lot of the music acts in the World Showcase.
So that's not exactly what Disney Park blog says, because of course they've spun it a little differently in saying new entertainment experiences coming to World Showcase at Epcot. How great is that? There's new stuff coming.
Right.
That's what the Disney Park blog says. I'll give you the highlights, right? So basically, Epcot is making some updates to World Showcase. One of the best parts of World Showcase is feeling immersed into the culture of the country, and live entertainment is a key part of that. Beginning this fall, Epcot will be refreshing the atmosphere entertainment around World Showcase with the addition of new acts and enhancements to some existing performances. New experiences debuting over the next several months will contribute to the rich entertainment of Epcot and provide a fresh experience for our guests. In the near future, you can look forward to traditional Bieber music and dance troupe in Morocco.
A corp Is that like of, Justin Bieber?
It might be. Well, that's over in Canada anyway. That's in another podcast.
Oh, Justin Bieber's in Canada, my bad.
Yeah, that's right. A corp of dynamic flag-waving performers in Italy, a thrilling lumberjack-inspired show in Canada, and a Celtic folk music ensemble at the United Kingdom, and, quote, more. All of that said, the last paragraph says, of course, if you bring new stuff in, you have to say farewell to other things. Moroccan, Off-Kilter, Spirit of America Fife and Drum Corps, and the World Showcase Player. We thank these performances and invite you to come down in the next few weeks to see their final experiences. So that's the official word from Disney. Hurry up and get down here if you want to see Off-Kilter again.
Right. That was my disappointment, that it was like, if you want to see them, you have about 25 days, which was really disappointing to me because I agree. I love Moroccan and Off-Kilter especially. And we have, you know, great memories of the World Showcase Players and being involved in some of their little improv skits, and those acts just kind of say World Showcase to me, and I'm not good with change anyway. So I was pretty disappointed, mostly that we had no warning, so to speak, that we couldn't catch them on our last trip.
I don't want to say that I disliked any of those, but it didn't shake me up that much that they were gone away.
Well, you know what really shook me up was not the matter of them going away, because I accept that. That happens. But the way it happened, we're all at once.
Yeah.
If you want it to be something that's not noticed by the public, why did they, boom, go ahead and cut them all in one shot? You know, you phase out Moroccan a couple months later, well, then, you know, Off-Kilter goes. And then you move in the groups at the same time, so it doesn't seem like there's anybody missing.
Sure.
So I think the timing is very interesting, because this is happening right before the Food and Wine Festival, when space is a premium around World Showcase.
Mm.
So, for example, if you take the area where Off-Kilter typically has a stage set up and seating,
yeah, what monetize
if you put a bunch of high-top tables in there? Same with Moroccan. Same with some of the other spots. It was just interesting, the timing, don't you think?
Well, the Italian ladies were basically there, and then they disappeared. So
the Ziti sisters.
Yes, yes.
I got to say, I'd be more upset to see the guy in Italy with the whistle, like with the hoop and the balls.
Yeah.
And the guy in France, the two guys with the chairs and the stack, the chairs. Those would probably upset me more than the ones that are going away. And I'd really be upset if they got rid of, Voices of Liberty. That would probably upset me.
So who are the World Showcase players? Do we know exactly what that means?
World Showcase players is that little group that does, like, the King Arthur stuff, right?
Yes. Yeah. My husband was actually our very first time that we spent much time in World Showcase. He got to play King Arthur. It's basically, Sam, they showed up at one point in maybe two different countries, the UK and Italy, I think.
Italy, yes.
Yeah, and they do like a, 10, 15 max, probably 10-minute sketch of like the King Arthur story. But they have audience participation. So my husband played King Arthur and had to sit on like this really high throne, and they had people that were playing horses with coconut shells. And so they kind of made fools of themselves, but it was a really fun audience participation show. I haven't seen them around as much as I used to, though. So
are the Ziti sisters considered World Showcase players?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I would say
so. I couldn't tell if they were part of this.
Right. I would say they're going to be gone just because they mentioned Italy and the flag wavers, but
and the flag people, right?
And I'm still trying to figure the flag waving people out because I'm not quite sure where that fits into Italy tradition.
I thought the same thing. Sorry, on the same page.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see.
I actually feel like, and then correct me if I'm wrong, I guess I could look this up. I feel like the Ziti sisters were already gone earlier this year. I remember people being upset by that.
Oh, I don't know. They might have been. Not we sure. saw them a year and a half, I guess, now.
Yeah. Just a quick Google search. And I hadn't even remembered them. I honestly don't know if I ever saw them, but it says that their final performance was in February of this year. So they've been cutting these things. But there again, Ed, as you said, they kind of cut that quietly.
Right.
Which is a different story than completely overhauling the majority of the World Showcase live entertainment. Maybe not the majority, but some really popular acts.
Sure. And that's Disney's MO usually is to do it on the sly, which is great. That's the way you should do it. No angst or stress from the public like this.
Right.
Yeah. But let's talk to Jimmy's point, right? Off Kilter's been there for 15 years.
Wow.
And I remember, in fact, I was there the weekend that they celebrated 15 years, and I took a whole bunch of video, which I'm glad I have now, so now I have to go back and edit that. But, you know, when they introduced the band at the end, I think only one of the guys was from Canada. The rest of them were from Tennessee and places all over the United States.
Right.
Now, the first thing I did when I heard this, the Disney nerd in me, straight to Google Earth, okay? And if you look at the pavilion where Off Kilter plays. It's a big red thing right in the middle. You can't miss it. There is a ton of room behind that. And you don't realize it till you look at it.
Oh, okay.
Because if you're looking directly at it, on the right-hand side is the Canadian pavilion. And on the left-hand side, probably 50 yards down, is the entrance and walkway back to the World Showcase Plaza, where the Millennium Celebration was. But in between there is a lot of real estate. They can do a lot with the spot.
The other thing that struck me as interesting is I had literally probably 3 days earlier listened to a podcast that talked a bit about the Canada Pavilion in depth. And these couple of people that were hosting the podcast were talking about how initially the Canadian government wasn't very on board with the pavilion because they thought that we do kind of play to stereotypes like, oh, Canada's just full of hockey players and lumberjacks. And then not two or 3 days later, this came out and we're doing a lumberjack show. And I'm like, wait a minute. Like, maybe they were right. Maybe that is what we're going to do. But it's really interesting. I thought, so who knows? It could be a very cool show. We don't really have any details about what it's going to be. But it did strike me as odd that we're going from something that seems a little more, you know, multicultural and less
cliche.
Yes, right. Exactly, Jimmy.
Yeah. No, I think if it's done right, this is one of those things you sit back and evaluate it after the fact, but there's the opportunity to really make this a great engagement for kids around World Showcase.
Music is very popular among certain circles. Like, even there's kind of like a Celtic spin on some pop. And so I'm sure that they've done their research, and we'll just have to kind of wait and see how it plays out. Yeah.
Right. Sam's right. I think with that, I think that's kind of a good point that real estate's such a big deal. You know, that big stage, if they can do something, kind of like I mentioned the guys in France that stack the tables, or the guy in Italy, those guys, when they pop up and do their little skit, and when they're gone, the real estate's wide open again. There's no permanent structure there for them.
And they draw a crowd, but they can coordinate that with, you know, scheduling the time of those particular acts with a time that they've seen less foot traffic through that area. Yeah. And so it's not as big of a deal. Or that's... cut back on shows during things like, evenings, weekends at the Food and Wine Festival.
With Off Kilter and Moroccan, you almost need you can't just, they just can't pop up and play. They have to be set up to play. So
right. There's
got to be some structure or some permanent thing there for them to.
I think you might have nailed it as far as the permanent stage thing goes.
Yeah.
Meaning, you know.
Well, and I think Moroccan may have had the nail in the coffin a long time ago, because since Spice Road Table opened, they've sort of been on a temporary stage over in the corner.
That's right.
They never really got a formal place after that.
You see, now with planning, they could have ended that with the opening of the restaurant. So
they could have.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, it could have been, maybe.
Yeah.
I think bottom line, it might have been that way, meaning all these guys were hired at the same time through the same agency, perhaps, and then boom, this is the contract, which ends now, gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. I mean,
so how about the Fife and Drum? Did you guys ever see that?
I have.
I did.
Sure. Actually, my son and my nephew got to be part of it. You know, they pulled in young kids and gave them a Declaration of Independence, and they marched with them, and so that was kind of cool. So
that is cool.
Well, every time I saw the Fife and Drum, it was 1 o'clock on a hot summer day, and the cast members just seemed to be tortured in their outfits. That's what I remember most about the Fife and Drum. So if you want to see it, you have to get down there before the end of September, because they're going to be wrapping up soon.
I do have to say, it's kind of sad that we'll be there like directly after they're done.
Right.
You'll be able to catch it. Thing. Wasn't it the 29th?
Well, depending. Or 25th. 27th or 29th.
Well, one of you guys might get it.
Any other Epcot news? I have a quick one, but do you guys have any big stories from there?
Not from Epcot.
The only other thing I noticed, and this is one of the times every day that I wish I were local. I have no interest, we've talked about this before, no interest in traveling down to Walt Disney World as a tourist the week between Christmas and New Year's, but they did announce some pretty cool sounding New Year's Eve events in Epcot that if I were local, I would brave the crowds just to go over there. So if someone is going to be down there or is local, those might be worth checking into.
I'd love to have that option, just to be able to shoot into the park for that and then shoot right the heck out.
Right, because you're going to fight crowds anywhere on New Year's Eve if you're going out to somewhere a big event, but then not to have to spend the rest of your vacation with those crowds would be
exactly would spend be nice. All the money to right exactly okay perfect. Well, you know what, that's a kind of funny thing about pricey, because one of the things of bits of news I have was, and we'll jump to the Magic Kingdom now, they have a new dessert party or a dessert event that they're having set up with the villains, the Disney villains, Sinister Soiree, a wicked takeover of Cinderella's castle. And I wanted to bring this up as news because, of course, it is. And I think during the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, you could pay an extra $99 and attend this event.
You okay, Jimmy?
Did you say $99?
Yes.
Now here's the thing.
You have to have your admission to Mickey's Not So Scary. So you need to pay that admission. So 60, 70, 80 bucks. What is it now? On top of that, then $99, and the dessert activity or the dessert event is inside Cinderella's castle. The way they make it sounds like it's downstairs where the mosaics are, but I'm not 100% sure. And they let you have your desserts, and it sounds like any other dessert party, with the difference being you have all the villain characters in there with you. So if you're really into the villains, this could be an incredible way to get an up-close and personal visit with those guys. I'm not sure exactly what they cap it at or how many people are going to be involved, but for an extra $99, there should be three other people in there.
With you know, all jokes aside, it is really pricey. But if you, you know, it doesn't surprise me to see Disney capitalizing on the popularity of the villains. The villains have been the it thing for a while now. So, you know what? If that's your thing, you don't see a lot of them in the park. So it may be worth it. It may be worth it for some people to go do that. And then if it includes the food and the drinks, you know what? It doesn't take that much food or drink to get up to $99. So,
well, that's what's so great about Disney. You can spend your money anywhere. You could spend that $99 on some water crafts on the lake, the mice, water mice, or the water rats. And you can spend your money basically playing golf. You can spend it a lot of different ways. People want to go see the villains.
Sure.
Madame Tremaine is the leader of the event. So she's the MC that leads all of the activities.
I was interested to see, because actually the first Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party happened last night, and I just looked quickly to see if I could find any feedback, and the first two reviews I came across, one said it was amazing, I would spend it up to any price point of $150, it was fantastic, the villain spent 3 to 5 minutes with us, another one said it was wickedly disappointing. So I think to your point, Ed, it just, if some people are going to love it and think that it was well worth it, and sure, some people won't. We're not really villains people, but gosh, it does look like, I mean, here's the Queen of Hearts and Frollo and Cruella de Vil and Maleficent and lots of different people, basically like at a character meal, spending several minutes talking to the people at the table. So
I completely agree with Ed. You know what? Some people may want to spend $150 to go parasailing and Seven Seas Lagoon, and where I would think you're nuts to spend that money. That's
right.
Ridiculous. Where, you know, so I mean, to each their own, and there are a lot of people out there that are into the villains. So if that's your thing and you want to get pictures with all the villains, you know what? It's probably not a bad deal.
True. Very true.
Interestingly, though, this did get a lot of feedback from the online community. I think just maybe this is the first time there's been such a high price point on top of a hard ticket event.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what the general consensus is. It sounds like the jury is still out. So
while we're in Magic Kingdom and talking about the Halloween party, I did happen to see that they changed up the Boo to You parade. Did any of you guys see that?
No.
Oh, no. What did they change?
They added Wreck-It Ralph characters.
Oh, excellent. Cool. On their own float? Or are they walking?
I didn't watch the whole video. I just kind of read about it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm probably going to watch the YouTube video once we're done here.
Right.
But they did. They added Wreck-It Ralph characters. Another couple things that are pretty cool going on in Magic Kingdom. They added a Haunted Mansion Magic Band and also Mickey's Not So Scary Magic Band.
Now, let's go back to these things coming out, 5,000 at a pop, and they cost how much?
The Haunted Mansion was like $23.
Okay. So this seems to be the new trend now. Limited edition for whatever event's coming up.
Yeah, don't forget you had those Frozen ones too. So you had Frozen, you had Haunted Mansion, now the
Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween.
Exactly. So you know there's more
coming. Star
Wars.
So we'll be down there for any of these the scary ones then.
Yeah, I was actually, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I could justify spending.
How many more bands can you have?
Right.
You can get every color. Yeah. Because I am now being overwhelmed with magic bands.
I am too.
Yeah, that's a tough life, guys. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
as an owner of none.
I'll give you one.
We'll link them up.
It's not the point. I wish I could have accumulated them over the past 6 months to a year.
Yeah, I'll give you one.
Okay, well, I tell you what. Let's continue on with the Magic Kingdom. Anybody else have any news from there? I did have one.
Yeah, I got another one. It's sort of links to Halloween and the not-so-scary party, but a little different. So on that same Halloween theme, if you guys are familiar with the Yankee Trader, which is the gift shop in the Magic Kingdom, sort of between It's a Small World and the Haunted Mansion.
Almost across from Columbia Harbor House, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It used to be in the one little skinny hallway that you had to go through to get from Fantasyland over to Frontierland or to Liberty Square.
Right.
Well, that is currently closed, and rumor has it that it will be opening as the Haunted Mansion gift shop.
Oh, wow.
My wife will be interesting so excited.
That.
Oh, you know, I just got really excited, and I got really not excited because I see a Tower of Terror store that really doesn't change anything in what they have.
Well, here's the – I agree with you there. Now, the interesting part I thought here was they are adding an on-ride photo pickup from Haunted Mansion in the Yankee Trader.
Oh, cool.
That was interesting because that's something that the attraction hasn't had before.
It's got to be. It's got to be with the ghosts at the end.
It's got to be. I agree.
I would think. So then, it was supposed to open on 9:30 when we would be there, but it got pushed back to 12:31. So it's not going to open until December 2014.
And that's a huge extension. Why do you think? What? Let's speculate. Why do you think it's going to take so long to switch over a shop?
It didn't work.
Do you think
the ghosts?
The ride.
You think it's getting the work done on the? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking the ride pictures probably or the technology. Because I was thinking if it is a picture of you in the car at the end with the pictures, with the ghosts, then isn't that animated? They're moving around. So how are they going to take a good picture? I don't know.
I think the ghosts are interfering with their work.
That's true.
And putting, there's unexpected holdups.
Sure. Well, it's got to be perfect.
Like hammers are missing and stuff.
People have been yelling for a Haunted Mansion gift shop forever. That little cart they used to have, now they're finally getting one, so that's going to be interesting.
They started putting Haunted Mansion stuff in that store. The last time we were there, they had a little section just with Haunted Mansion stuff. I'm a little upset because that was like one of our favorite stores with all the little kitchenware stuff in there.
Yeah.
Apparently they sell more Haunted Mansion than they do jellies and jams and spatulas.
I did like that store, but you know what? Haunted Mansion merchandise is it's always hot items. There's those there's those expensive Dooney and Burke bags, and there's t-shirts and the magic bands. People are clamoring for Haunted Mansion stuff.
Is it hot because it was so exclusive and hard to find?
Maybe.
Because I agree with that. That Tower of Terror store is terrible because it's got the same stuff in it did 10 years ago.
But if you were, one of a few people who would have gotten the Bellhop t-shirt, that would have been awesome. So you're right. It might have been so popular because it's limited edition.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. If it's there all the time, then it'll lose its edge.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, let's get it for a couple of years and decide that afterwards.
Yeah, it's easy to swap out merchandise.
Yeah.
And if you get a picture with the hitchhiking ghost, I think it's probably worth it.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, true. Definitely.
All right. So also talking about the Tower of Terror store, one thing I did see, and I watched a couple of them, is now there's actually, instead of just a photo on the Tower of Terror, there's actually a video you can get. And they're giving it away to anyone who has Memory Maker, which is pretty cool. So
is it only Memory Maker?
Yeah, if you have a Magic Man and Memory Maker.
So that's the key. You have to have Memory Maker to get it. You can't just buy it.
I was going to say, though, I don't think you can have Memory Maker without a Magic Man anyway.
True, because you have to scan it. Tell me about the video. That's a video of you?
It is a video of you and your group on the attraction. Now, it's a generic video, and the beginning part of it is just some generic people in there, but then it does cut to a scene of you during the initial drop. So, that does, if you were on the fence about getting the Memory Maker, that might push you over the edge.
Oh, you know what? I think I might have seen one of these videos. I thought somebody put it together themselves with the old, promotional videos they had for Tower of Terror when it first came out.
It's very similar to that, yes.
Because they'll show the people in the car, and then they show the Tower of Terror scenes, and then they show the people getting ready to drop, and then they show the actual shaft, like the old commercials they used to run.
That's it. That's
the video. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get Memory Maker, though, but that's cool.
You know what, though? You may be in luck.
Why don't you get it?
Because I may get Memory Maker.
Oh, then excellent.
You link them together.
And
there
if I can
go.
Link Tell you guys in. On my friends and family list, you'll have all my you'll have access to all my photos as well.
So we can just keep that going throughout the trip, even when you leave?
I think so.
14 days from when
It's 14 days from when I start.
Oh, nice. That would be cool. Yep. Okay, that's worth it then.
Who's there the week after you leave?
We might. Yeah, it's worth it for you. It doesn't cost anything.
Exactly.
So I will say this is the first attraction where you can purchase a video from Disney, but Disney's by far not the first theme park to offer this technology. So I like to see that they're getting there.
Are you saying there's some other theme park?
I'm saying there's other theme parks where you can get your video on a roller coaster that might not be far away in Orlando, actually. Not that I've ever been there. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, we won't talk about that. That's blasphemy.
But cool. They are catching up. You're right. Well, let's go back to Magic Kingdom real quick. I have another story from there, and then we'll move on to a different park. Just recently, I think it was this past Saturday, they had the first ever Disney side Dog's Day at the Magic Kingdom.
I saw that.
It was pretty cool. I have a friend, Michelle, who brought her dog up there. So she was putting pictures on Facebook for this event. And they did it before the park opened. And Goofy basically led everybody around. And they had a lot of characters. And they went through the castle. They had a parade with everybody's pets. And it sounded like a fun event. I did not read if the dog had to pay admission. Or if they had to pay admission, too. Like, I didn't even think to ask her that. I assumed that they had to have a ticket to get in the park. But if they're in there before it opens and have to get the dog out before the people come in, I don't know.
I did see they laid a green carpet down the middle of Main Street, USA, for obvious reasons.
Sure,
and, there was a parade, so a lot of the pets showed up in costume.
Oh, cool. And they did have cool. I saw a prize winner dog that was listed, so I'm not sure what kind of contest it was. John O'Hurley was there. Isn't he the guy that used to be on Seinfeld, the Elaine's boss, maybe?
Oh, that's cool.
He's got that J.P. Peterman or whatever.
Yep, J.P. Peterman.
I guess he does an animal show on one of the animal networks. So he was there doing some filming for that. So that was pretty cool, yeah.
So one more at Magic Kingdom, Ed, that makes me a little bit nervous because we don't know a lot about it, and it's one of my favorite places. The Harmony Barbershop is going down for refurbishment.
That was one of mine.
It's going down for 3 months rather soon. And I got to tell you, I love that exactly the way it is.
Yes.
Now, it's not in the original location. It's moved around, if you know the Magic Kingdom. But two of my three children have had their first haircut in that facility. And I love to get a haircut in the Harmony. So fingers crossed they don't change it.
My three kids all got their first haircut there. And to this day, we often wait as long as possible to get my son's haircut there because nobody we've found does it as well as Michael at the Harmony Barbershop. So we love that place. So I'm with you there. And the only other thing I had from the Magic Kingdom, Sam, we finally have confirmation that your Jingle Cruise is returning.
Oh, yes. That's great.
Yes. Disney Parks blog announced it today. We thought so since they mentioned it on the Disney World site earlier in the year, but it is definitely returning for the holiday season.
Look at that tree. It's all wrapped up in a boa.
I cannot wait. I love the Jungle Cruise and I love Christmas. I cannot wait to see this.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice they're bringing it back.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Any other news from the Magic Kingdom before we move on?
I don't think so.
Okay, awesome.
I think so.
A lot of stuff coming out of the parks. I have one real quick thing over in – actually, a couple of things going on in the Animal Kingdom. I saw – I want to say WDW Info. However, what they had were some great pictures from the Animal Kingdom. Great pictures of walls everywhere. Mm-hmm. It looks like coming over the bridge
– California Adventure in Florida.
Pretty much, which hopefully means good things. It didn't look like a lot of Avatar Land things were going on, but it was the main pathways and around the Tree of Life, actually. I guess they're getting ready for the whole light-up tree event or the nighttime things.
Rivers of Light.
Yes. I was going to say, I also heard that they're starting the construction for the seating areas. So
cool.
Yeah. We'll see what that looks like.
Do we have any idea when that's going to start?
2016, early. So we're still
I was thinking it was a while still.
Gotcha. Well, something to look forward to. One other thing I had for Animal Kingdom. This past month, they had a new gorilla baby.
No name yet.
Yeah. No name.
Jimmy.
But the mother, I think they said, was carrying the baby around, so you might be able to see it next time you're down there.
Very cool.
Moving on to Disney Hollywood Studios. Coming out of the studios, I heard a couple things this week. Have you guys heard anything new?
Yeah, there's quite a bit going on there. Okay. A couple things we predicted, actually.
True. Very true. Let's start with one of those. Go ahead.
I'll take that first one. It's an easy one. Back when we did March Madness, one of our number 16 seeds was the American Idol experience, and we mentioned it might not be around next year. And it has celebrated its last show, and it has closed.
Yay! Wait, did I say that out loud?
The only thing that what's coming next, and there's been no announcement as to what's coming, American Idol.
They're not going
to
bring Doug back?
Doug Live. I thought there was another company that owned Doug. Maybe they'll go back to...
I'm sure they won't.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they closed it. I know it's been there for a while, and it's time, but... The last time we were there in April, we went and it was full.
Did you sing?
From my seat, not on stage. <That's
right. laughs> And that's true, though. We do go every time we go down. And this past time, we made it a point to go to the last show of the day. My daughter and I went to that one because we've never seen that one where they all compete for the final prize. And that was a pretty fun time. But it's going. I totally agree, it's time.
And some of the speculation as to what's going in there goes with a couple of other news events. Of course, there's been some talk about Star Wars Land and what that might look like, and those rumors that have not yet been announced but have been fueled for sure. But before that, even, it has been announced that the Frozen Summer Fun event will go on through September 28th. It was originally scheduled to end this past weekend or the coming weekend. And there's also talk that they might move a little bit of the activities, I think the sing-along, to that area temporarily. Not that that's going to be its long-term home, but it sort of allows for the expansion of Frozen Summer Fun, which has been a huge hit. And there's a rumor going around that they might even extend it into the beginning of 2015, at which point I have no idea if it'll still be Summer Fun or... what? But that seems kind of a long time, but we'll see. As of now, it is confirmed through the 28th of September.
Again, that's the you know, they're cashing in on that popularity.
Absolutely. Oh, sure.
Once they make
go for it.
I was going to say, I'm sorry. Once they make the name change, we'll know for sure what's happening. If they make it some generic year-long type of name, as opposed to like the fall festival or the whatever, then yeah, I think it's going to be around.
Well, they have to be working on something permanent for Frozen. I mean, they just have to be.
It was funny. Jimmy mentioned it tonight. I didn't have a chance to see it, so I'll definitely see it on DVR or something like that. They had the making of Frozen on TV tonight.
Yeah, on
ABC. I saw some clips, and it looks amazing. I can't wait to watch the whole thing.
Yep,
I watched about the first 30 or 40 minutes or so, and it was pretty good. It was hosted by Josh Gad, who plays Olaf.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, they had a lot of John Lasseter on there talking about it and how it came to be and how they deviated from the original story of, you know, in the original story, the Snow Queen's actually a villain and they tinkered with that idea, you know. So it's a pretty good story on how they came up with the final product.
I thought that the Frozen ending, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but I'm sure everybody's seen it by now.
Everybody's seen it.
That, to me, we saw it again the other day, and I haven't seen it a lot. I've seen it maybe about four or five times, which compared to everybody else on these shows is nothing. But I definitely think that the twist at the end is incredible as far as true love goes, because you never think that way in a Disney movie. So, I mean, it still catches me.
Yep. Not the traditional Disney princess looking for her prince.
Right.
So, Jen, do you have in front of you the list of what this Frozen Summer Fun is? Because I know it's a lot of different things.
I don't know. I've read a lot about it because I was actually hoping that it was going to be there long enough for my kids to see it.
There's lots of things that happen throughout the day.
Yes, there is a little mini parade, which is Anna and Elsa's royal welcome. I guess they call it a processional, not a parade, but the characters from Arendelle, or I'm sorry, the residents of Arendelle come to Hollywood Land and they greet people there and they come and kick off the celebration. And I assume this happens every day. There's also a Frozen sing-along celebration which has been a huge hit. I think that's the one that people have a hard time getting into. And I've heard some audio from that, and it's hilarious and adorable. And you can imagine that if you have little ones, it's endearing. And if you don't,
I was about to say, I don't, but I'd probably still go do the Frozen sing along. So,
yes. So, but it sounds like literally everyone is singing along. So it sounds like a lot of fun. There's Oaken's Frozen Funland, there's an ice skating rink and snowman building and snow. So that sounds really cool. There's a fireworks spectacular, which has features like Elsa kind of interacting with the fireworks. There's a dance party. There's a merchandise shop modeled after Wandering Oaken's Trading Post. So I can imagine that it takes over a good chunk of the park. So as Sam was saying, it feels like they maybe would be working on something more permanent. I don't know. So
you would think
it's been a hit, and it seems like something just really big. I mean, ice skating, not only can you ice skate, but they have professional skaters putting on a show to some of the Frozen songs. And
it
sounds like
$10 for half an hour to ice skate.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably.
I think that's what it is. It's $10 for half an hour. And maybe. I heard there's a lot of people that it's obvious it's their first time ice skating.
That's
I
was so much fun, though.
Say,
how 10, perfect.
For 10 bucks for a half an hour for somebody who's never had a chance to ice skate before.
That's torture.
You might as well go swimming on the ice.
Yeah.
So cool. But anyway, it was pretty – it seems like something that's really impressive for how quickly they put it together. So I don't know.
It sounds like they put it together quickly and put something together that's quality, which is
– right.
Well,
yeah, so the ice skating rink that you were talking about and a couple of other things are inside Hot Set 1, I think they call it, which is the same building as Toy Story Mania, but down a little bit. I think we talked about this before. Get all the Star Wars Weekend stuff out of here and bring in the Frozen stuff is really what it seemed like happened. That happened quickly. To see how fast it was pulled together, if you look at the parade, those are the floats from Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party.
Right. And that's why
they're already snow. They already got icicles on them. They didn't have to do anything with them. So they're going to need those back in about a month.
Yes, exactly.
But sounds like everybody loves it. So it's good that it's been extended and something big will come.
They could also be working on something behind the scenes as far as an official Elsa and Anna type of situation once those floats go back to the Christmas parade. And then they'll pull that one out. Be interesting to see.
In Norway. Did we talk about that at all? No.
Well, it's interesting.
No announcement of Norway Entertainment.
The ladies have hit three different countries, or three different parks so far. Hollywood Studios, yeah. Magic Kingdom, and Epcot. So how are we going to squeeze them into Animal Kingdom?
Yeah, I don't know about that one.
Snowman. Yeah, that's tough.
It's very hot
thing.
In Africa.
That moose. You're in.
True. Right. True.
Reindeer, whatever he is. Miniature golf, Winter Summerland.
Oh gosh, that's coming probably soon.
Yeah, I was about to say they could definitely.
If they haven't thought of it, you just gave them that idea.
They can't do that now because Sam mentioned it.
So, did you hear about this Guardians of the Galaxy dance party over at Studios?
Yes. Yes, I did. Was it only the two people there? The two stars? Or the two
characters?
It's the
two people, which is the first time there have been Marvel characters in a Disney theme park in Florida. Because they are not covered in the contract they have with that other theme park nearby. So Disney was able to do that. I'm not a big Marvel guy, but I absolutely love the soundtrack for Guardians of the Galaxy. So I will go see this.
Oh, definitely. You haven't seen it yet? Or have you seen the movie?
Not the movie, but I've listened to the soundtrack many times.
Oh, gotcha.
The movie is fantastic, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
I may go to see that.
Yeah, definitely before it gets out of the theater.
I would go see it in the theater, no joke. Yep. Even if you're not a Marvel fan, I would go see it in the theater.
Right, because you know what? To be honest with you, Marvel's only kind of a footnote as far as this movie goes, as far as the science fiction factor compared to like a superhero movie.
Yep.
And I think actually that's probably one of the only negatives I had for it. They're trying to tie it into the Marvel universe, and that to me almost takes away from it.
Well, it is tied in.
True, but still a matter of they have
in to the make comic it book universe. They are tied together.
Ooga chaka, ooga, ooga, ooga chaka.
In a little bit of a related story, they also announced that the two of the main characters from Big Hero 6, which comes out later this year, will be meeting in the parks, both at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. So there will be a couple more Marvel characters making their way to Florida.
Well, Marvel / Disney characters, because it's right. A Disney Studios picture, but they're Marvel. How can this possibly live up to Frozen?
I don't know.
This is the movie that gets to follow Frozen in the Disney animation sequence.
But everybody says that, though. Everybody says that about the next Disney movie. How can it be better than this one? And you know what?
Yeah, you're right.
They keep doing it.
Hopefully I eat my words. I hope to.
By the way,
as of right now, Guardians of the Galaxy has grossed $281 million.
Wow.
Nice. So it's the biggest movie of the year so far, beating out Captain America the Winter Soldier by about $20
million. Wow.
That's the soundtrack.
Yeah, there you go. And they have what was the the thing you got at the end? Okay, I won't ruin it for you. Never mind. I almost did it too. I don't want to ruin that.
Sam, don't ruin it.
Go see it.
Go see it.
Because you got more to look forward to.
One more quick thing.
Okay.
And maybe it's the same as Sam again. They've announced that a Starbucks location is coming to the studios. It will be called the Trolley Car Cafe, but this will be what? Just the second Starbucks location on property? Well, not on property, but in a park.
Now, when I...
Third one. Epcot's got one, and Magic Kingdom, this will be the third.
Oh, that's right. Epcot Fountain View. You're right. So, Starbucks takeover continues, which I don't have an opinion on, really. I did until I saw how well they themed the bakery.
But I think more important here, Jen, is where it's going. Because if I tell you the name of the building it's going in, the LA Prop and Cinema Storage Company, everyone goes, where's that?
Well, I know where that is.
But yet everybody has cut through this gift shop as they go down Hollywood Boulevard and head towards Tower Terror.
Definitely. It used to be – you know what? If they had the Starbucks there when they used to do Rope Drop, that would be a prime location.
You're right.
Because that's kind
of – Because they let you into there. Yeah.
Up to that street.
So if you don't know, this is down the Hollywood Boulevard, the corner of Sunset on the right-hand side. There's a store there that always had lots of plushes outside on the sidewalk, and you could cut through it as kind of a shortcut. That will be the Starbucks location, the trolley car cap.
You know, that's actually a good change because I thought of that store always being like the five and dime store of the park because there was a lot of plush in there, but it was small and it was like a lot of the things you're going to bring the kid through there to at least get them something to stop complaining about wanting something.
Which always backfired when you're leaving Fantasmic and trying to get out of there.
Oh, true. Yeah.
Because you're pushing a stroller through. Wait, daddy. Oh.
So let me ask you this since Jennifer kind of brought it up. What's your feeling, Sam, on Starbucks in the parks?
I'm fine with it because they're themed well. If you look at the one that's in Magic Kingdom and Epcot, they're themed very well. You see a Starbucks cup every once in a while, people carrying around, but it's fine with me.
Ed?
I agree. Coffee at Disney World has always been an issue with me. I've never enjoyed it.
They've always had crappy coffee at Disney.
Right.
I'd rather have Dunkin' Donuts than Starbucks, but that's me.
It is mentioned that they will have pastries. If this does anything to stirring rolls, then I will be furious about Starbucks in the park. Because that Butterfinger cupcake is the most amazing snack anywhere on property.
What I found was funny was, you know, there was a post on Starbucks in the parks on Facebook in the Disney Nerds group not that long ago. And people were like livid, like, oh my God, Disney World has sold out. I'm like, Disney World sold out the day it was built. When they built Disneyland, most of the stuff was sponsored by some corporation.
Coca-Cola everywhere, Coca-Cola.
I mean, come on. So it's not like all of a sudden it was Wholesome and it was just Disney and now all of a sudden there's a Starbucks in there.
Right.
I mean,
right, like Walt Disney just physically made everything that came through Disneyland.
Right.
And right.
I mean, it was built by sponsors. I mean, GM Test Track.
Yeah.
You know, the Coca-Cola Cool Stuff.
Ford Motor Skyway back with Walt. So
it was always sponsored. They always had corporate sponsors. So it's not like this is all brand new.
Right.
I agree.
McDonald's fries.
That's right.
For God's sake.
For a while. Not
for a long time.
And honestly, that looked more intrusive than the Starbucks have that they've put in recently.
They themed them very, very well. The one in Magic Kingdom. Now, I will say, I did like the little pastries in the main strap Main Street Bakery that they don't have anymore. They had apple turnovers and stuff like that. That's not there anymore.
Go back to Gaston's. They have them back there.
Yeah. So, but I mean, other than that, I think they themed it very well. It doesn't look intrusive, and thank God they finally get good coffee there.
Right. And I tell you, that's
the Nescafe crap.
Oh, yeah. To me, what you guys said, when what Sam said first and Jimmy backed him up, is the theming of the restaurants or the coffee places matches. It fits in and it's perfect. That makes the big difference, other than sticking a Starbucks stand right there in the middle of everything. So
absolutely.
So in the studios, the American Film Institute, which is towards the end of the backlot tour, has closed.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you used to be able to find some movie memorabilia. And more importantly, it's the place where recently all of the props from Sid Coringa's moved back to the AFI, and we thought, okay, it's safe, but now that's closed as well. So
that was a cool little store too. That kind of upsets me.
It's closed.
Some great little books and stuff back there, like 100 movies to see before you die and stuff like that.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
that's the number one on your list.
Well,
that's the last thing I had over it at Studios.
Okay, and we can just keep our eyes open. I'm sure they're going to move some of that merchandise elsewhere.
Yeah, probably so.
Okay, well, outside of the parks, there's some news coming also. One of the things we heard from... Does everybody know what the Festival of the Masters is?
Yes.
I've never attended it, but I'm aware of what it is.
Right, I never attended either. But sometimes in November, they have a weekend-long event where they bring in a lot of really, really good artists that come to Downtown Disney and basically take over most of the West Side and I think some other parts of it and basically show their wares and interact with people. And this year, unfortunately, and this has been going on for a while because the article came out with this is the 39th annual, it's unfortunately going to be canceled this year. There's going to be too much construction going on in Downtown Disney. Because they're changing it over to, what's the new name? The Disney Springs,
Disney Springs, yep.
Right, so there's too much construction going on that it's going to definitely prohibit the freedom and basically what everybody's enjoyed by being able to move around so well. So, yep, that's being canceled.
Yeah, and what was interesting to me about that is that they put it on the schedule and canceled it. Like, they didn't just know that the construction was going to continue to be a nightmare. They, I guess, maybe thought that it was going to be done, or I don't know. It was really interesting that a month and a half beforehand, they decided, well, I guess we can't do this. And some people are pretty upset who plan to go. So kind of an interesting move.
Right. Well, it just must have been so out of control. Somebody probably missed a meeting, and then finally they're like, well, we can't do it. But whatever. They'll get to it next year. And plus, all the changes to Downtown Disney can't be all bad. We'll see.
That's cool.
They also opened the bridge from Saratoga Springs over to the Marketplace. So if you're staying at or have stayed at Saratoga Springs, you know that it's quite a walk to go around the lake to get over to the Marketplace. Now there's a bridge straight across.
That still is the easiest way. We had a security guard tell us that the last time we were there. He was asking, and we were at Hollywood Studios, and we were asking, what's the easiest way to get to Downtown Disney? And he said, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but catch a bus to Saratoga Springs and you can walk.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you have to go to... Yeah, we walked right by where they were building the bridge, and we walked around all the way to the highway right there. But it still wasn't a terrible walk. It's probably still better than having to catch a bus to a resort and then take it and wait for another bus to take to Downtown Disney.
Right.
Oh, sure. That's a great tip.
The only other thing... Do we have more about Disney Springs? Or I'm excited to see it because I haven't seen any of the updates. It looks like not only is there the bridge from Saratoga Springs, but maybe one connecting the two sides of the Marketplace, which is pretty cool too. So I'm excited to see that. The other thing I'm excited about from outside the park is that Captain Cook's at the Polynesian has reopened and sounds like it has a new menu and some really interesting things there. No Dole Whips, but they have also opened the Pineapple Lanai just around there with Dole Whips, Dole Whip floats, and things like that. So,
not a Dole Whip, though.
I think so, yeah.
It's just a pineapple float.
Oh.
Sounds like they're They're booting.
Doesn't say Dole Whip on the menu? Wow.
I don't think so. I think it's just a pineapple float. I was reading it somewhere.
Huh. Interestingly, though, when Orange Leaf and the other places around here have the Dole Whips, they don't call them that either. Like, you have to ask them if this is made by Dole, because it just says pineapple soft serve. So maybe, I don't know. But lots and lots of construction still going on at the Polynesian. It sounds like, from people that are staying there, it's not subtle anywhere in the park. It's, or anywhere in the resort. It's pretty much everywhere. But I think we're going to try to go over and see the newly opened Captain Cook's and Pineapple and I. But we will not be... probably taking the monorail. The only other thing I had was there's the same... Have you guys been there when they did the monorail closures during the day? It happened this spring.
Right, and I heard about them.
Talked about it, didn't we? Didn't we talk about it on the show, Ed?
Yeah, because it was odd they were closing them during the daytime because they had to do construction when normally they do it all at night.
And yeah. We were there in either February or March, and it was kind of a disaster. They said there were extra boats, but... It took us about an hour and a half to get from the Magic Kingdom to Ohana. It was awful. And I actually had a conversation with somebody who called from Disney about a survey response. And so I'm hoping that it'll be done a little better this time. But something to keep in mind if you're trying to go anywhere, especially at dinner time, on the monorail loop, and you're going to have to take a boat or a bus instead, maybe allow a little extra time.
Sure, always good advice. The Magic Kingdom's great. There's so many different ways to get away from there. Boat, monorail, bus. Yep.
Walkway.
True, walkway. Now, some of the news we heard this week has to do with the parks themselves. The one thing I heard, which is a great, great story, is that the full-time cast members and their union have agreed with Disney to increase their rates, and now they all are going to be starting at $9 an hour for the base rate, I guess it is. And then they'll have a $1 increase for next year. So I heard that's been going on for a little while. So it was cool to hear that's been resolved.
There's a justification to raise prices next year.
True. Very true. So look forward for that. Another story I heard, which was really cool, in that everybody knows what the drones are, what, you know, a drone is. And it looks like Disney has put some patent requests in for drone types of technology that they're going to be perhaps using in the parks. It was cool. Sam and I were talking earlier about this. We had read this one article, and they had all the different pictures that Disney submitted with their patent request, and I'm impressed. It looks like there's two main ways they're going to use these drones. The first one seems to be more of a display where each of the drones would light up either as their own individual pixel, or they would light up as a screen and be able to display different things in the sky, such as like fireworks. So you would have non-smoking fireworks in the skies. Another theory of the way they used the drones was they were going to then have characters. Characters look to be about maybe 10, 20 feet tall. And think of a marionette. Now, the strings on the marionette is controlled by the puppeteer, but imagine you had drones controlling all those different joints and strings on the puppet so that you can make them literally walk down the street by using the controls with the drones. I'm sure they've got some incredible technology going on here to keep them all synchronized and things like that. So it's only a patent request now, something to look forward to probably in the next 10 years.
But think about this for a second. You have an army of remote control helicopters that are each holding a string that controls a marionette that's 50 feet tall. Come on. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they could pull it off, it'd be great. Now, the technologies they use and they develop, I don't know where they go sometimes. The only reason I say that is the dragon. I have not yet to see the dragon come back when they open New Fantasyland. So I'm hoping this is a technology they can cultivate and use more so. We'll see.
It's very possible. Very possible.
Well, guys, I just actually got an alert for one more piece of breaking news that must have been announced at the end of the ABC television special we were just talking about earlier.
Oh, excellent. Now, hang on.
It's not that big, Sam. It's not that big. It doesn't require too much of an oh boy. Okay. A short called Frozen Fever will bring back to the big screen Anna, Elsa, Kristoff, Olaf, and a new song by Robert Lopez and Kristen Anderson Lopez. It's going to celebrate Anna's birthday, where Elsa and Kristoff are determined to give her the best celebration ever, but Elsa's icy powers may put more than just the party at risk. I don't know. It says the big screen. It says spring 2015. So my guess is it's going to be in front of whatever.
What's the Hero 6? Is that?
Isn't Big Hero 6 this year?
Yeah, Big Hero 6 I think is this year.
Okay, so it's after that.
Yeah, so I don't know.
In front of Finding Dory, maybe?
Maybe.
Finding who?
Finding
Dory.
Any way you look at it, you're going to have to pay for a movie ticket to see that short.
That's right. Sounds like, though, that special also showed a sneak peek at Once Upon a Time Season 4 and Big Hero 6. So if you've got that on your DVR, lots of different reasons to check it out.
Nice. Check it out.
Yeah. Okay,
well, speaking of checking out, did you guys see this Ultimate Day at Epcot Food and Wine Festival?
No.
So very, very high level. This is a special VIP tour that they introduced for Food and Wine. So you start your day with a champagne flute in the VIP lounge over at the Festival Center. And, of course, a representative welcomes you and you go through all that good stuff and an introduction. Then you go and you ride Test Track, Soarin', Spaceship Earth, and the Seas with Nemo. After that, you come back to a VIP lounge and have a 6-course tapas-style lunch, which sounds good, paired with wines. Then you head over to the greenhouse tour at Living with the Land, followed by a walk-around world showcase where a chef will meet you in the international marketplace, which is where you have your three-piece, your three-course dinner, which sounds pretty cool.
Wow.
After that, walk a little more around world showcase, get a VIP seat for the Eat to the Bee concert series, which is really cool, and then a couple of more drinks, and then you're free to explore world showcase after your VIP seating for Illuminations as well.
Wow. How much is this?
So remember we were talking about money? So this VIP ultimate tour.
Don't say the price yet. Hang on a second. Guys,
yep.
Let's take guesses.
Guesses
now.
Guesses.
Okay.
Go for it.
Passes for everything. Lunch, dinner, VIP concert, and VIP Illuminations.
I think it's gotta be $3.99.
Jen?
I was gonna say $500 or close to it, just because I know they probably could.
And I'll go over, Bob. I'll take $499. Yes,
$501.
$499. I was actually gonna say like $599.
Jimmy is spot on. $399.
Wow.
Well, it's a bargain then.
It is.
It's a bargain. Yeah. It's offers.
I could go twice.
Only offered on Thursdays and Sundays. But,
all right, Jim. Well, since you and Ed lost, you have to buy me and Jim.
Nice.
But I've never heard of anything like this before. You're throwing in this backstage tour of the Garden Pavilion. It's like, wow, it's everything.
And the food. I mean, yeah, it's everything.
And the food.
Ready for a prediction? I predict this is going to be a new tour offered for every park eventually.
Yeah.
You know how every park has their tours? This is the perfect way to see it. You got one day to see it. You've got a couple extra bucks. Boom. Here's how you're going to do it with professionals.
You get every attraction. You get VIP seating for whatever shows are happening.
Although the meal is kind of excessive for a hot day.
Let's be honest. If Ed Mazzilli says that it's not a prediction, because he's got that direct line straight to Disney, so whatever he says happens anyway. No, it's not like a shot in the dark.
Are we recording this?
Yeah.
Sure.
We'll see. Okay, guys. Well, there's a lot going on in the parks.
I need to go. I need to get back down there.
Well, that's a coincidence because guess what? We are within 30 days of our trip to Walt Disney World. And some of us are actually less than that 30 days in Jimmy and Sam. So we're almost on our way. And before we end tonight, we want to remind everybody, if you are down in Orlando at the parks, in the beginning of October, we're going to have two meets down at the parks. The first meet's going to be on October 3rd. We're going to have an Illuminations meet at Epcot. And we're going to meet over by the Mexican Bridge at about, we'll say 8:30, 9 o'clock, because the fireworks are going to start at 10 o'clock that night. The next day, Saturday the 4th, we're going to have a scavenger hunt meet at Epcot also. We're going to meet by the fountain, facing the World Showcase side of the fountain. And we're going to get to know each other, talk about the hunt, and then I'm going to set you off in the World Showcase where you're going to be able to go all the way around working on the scavenger hunt. Can't wait. We've been working on this for a little bit now, and as the trip gets closer and closer, I can't help but get more excited.
Very exciting.
So that's it for this week of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thank you all for listening. We really appreciated it. If you want to get in touch with the show, please give us an email at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com.
and let us know what you think. Also, check us out on Facebook. We've got the Disney Nerds group page, and we've also got the Disney Nerds podcast page, so check out both sites. For the Disney Nerds podcast, for Jimmy, Sam, and Jen, this is Ed. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Kungaloosh.
Bye.
Quaharini.
Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Disney Nerds Podcast, it's true. Disney Nerds Podcast, we love you. Thank you so very, very much. Have a great night. All the best to everybody.